This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Welcome to Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. You can follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. On today's episode, can Houston keep their streak alive and exact some revenge against a team and the Chiefs that have historically had their number? But this ain't your dad's Chiefs, and they know they are in for a brutal matchup against the elite defense of the Texans. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. So this is a big game for both teams, but it's essentially a must-win for the Chiefs to have any realistic hope of getting into the playoffs. For Houston, who's in the hunt, they have a couple paths now. They are very much alive in both the division and in the wild card picture. But a win on the road against the Chiefs, even this version of KC, who's lost 3 of 4, would still be a statement win, given that it would be 2 straight road wins and 5 straight overall. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball for Houston, because that's one of the biggest wild cards in this game. CJ Stroud had a rusty first half in his return, but settled in for a good game overall, throwing for 276 yards in Indy. The run game was still challenged, but at the end, when they needed it, they put the ball in Woody Mark's hands, and he dragged defenders to a first down that essentially iced it. But his health is a question mark as he's nursing a sore ankle. On the other side, KC surrendered 31 points and 320 yards through the air in Dallas. What do you expect to see out of Stroud, having now a full game to shake off that rust? And what do you think the keys will be for Houston to control the tempo the way they did against Indy? Charlie, we start with you.
You'd think the kind of ramp-up game, not that it was an exhibition game, but the ramp-up game for Stroud should bode well for him going into this one. I think the Texans, having played at Arrowhead last season, should fare them well. It's a Sunday night game. The crowd will probably have an air of desperation coupled with rowdiness. Game time temperature, by the way, in the 20s. So that introduces a wild card of taking care of the ball. I think the primary focus on the Chiefs' slippage, it's naturally been on the offense. Travis Kelce aging, Mahomes not just lighting up scoreboards at will the way he used to, offensive line issues, all things we'll get to further. But defensive slippage, very readily apparent. Chris Jones remains an outstanding defensive lineman, a premium interior defensive lineman. But the indications are, now that he's on the wrong side of 30, not quite as down in, down out, series in, series out, game in, game out, as great as he's been in the past. Their pass rush overall, not getting home very much. 20 sacks for the Chiefs team. So Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, just as a tandem, easily exceed the Chiefs' total output. It's tougher for the inside guys to rack up sacks. Nevertheless, Chris Jones has just 3. George Karlaftis, he's their best pass rusher. He has 5. They both have pretty good pressure numbers and quarterback hits numbers, but the sack numbers just aren't there. Dak Prescott tore them up. One key distinction, Texans versus Cowboys going after the Chiefs, along with the fact the Chiefs played in Arlington as opposed to getting this game at home. The Cowboys have 2 phenomenal wide receivers in CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, and as a tag team, the Chiefs just couldn't deal with them. The Texans have Nico Collins, and all right, Higgins is coming on. Hutchinson mixes in a nice play here and there. Christian Kirk sightings have been on the uptick the last couple of games. But look, the Texans' top 2 receivers as a duo, not nearly as good as what the Cowboys have. And Dalton Schultz is certainly no better than Jay Ferguson of the Cowboys. So I think it's on CJ. Don't turn the ball over, especially early. And I hope you can top 21 points, which has not been a norm for the Texans offense this season.
Yeah, I'll start there too. I mean, Trent McDuffie's a good corner. That could give Nico some trouble. So I'm kind of with you, Charlie. I think this could be a Jaden Higgins type of game. I think they could go there. Woody Marks, D'Amico spoke at the presser and said all these guys that didn't participate on Wednesday, he expects them to play. So he expects Woody Marks to go. So I wouldn't worry about that. So I think they're going to keep doing what they do, try and control the ball, try and make these long drives down the field that consist of a lot of plays. It's kind of similar to that old Patriots offense that they've been trying to emulate the entire season. It's just finally starting to look that way a little bit, to where they want to possess the football, they want to own time of possession, and don't take any unnecessary chances, rely on that defense to come through. So I think that'll be big on the offense. And then as far as, we usually don't get into special teams, but that does involve scoring points, right? And if we remember back in January 2025, when they played the Chiefs, Fairbairn had a rough game, missing a field goal, had one blocked, missed an extra point. So that'll be something where we need Fairbairn to have a good game.
I know he's nursing the sore ankle here, but how do you like Marks' ability to be able to help establish that offense, get an actual run game going on Sunday?
I just don't think the Texans are a good run team. And taking their show on the road, I just don't see a reason to think they're going to control the line of scrimmage and be able to dictate and play old school football. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Earn respect there to set up your play action and the passing game. If anything, I think the Texans are inverted. Their passing game can set up the run.
Woody Marks has done okay, but it's just boom or bust with him. He can either break through and grab you those big 8 or 9 yards that help you seal the game, or he could just run in the pile over and over again. And it's not like he hasn't had chances. I mean, he's, this last four games, 19, 16, 18, 14, just carries. Of course, we've been talking about needing to get him involved in the passing game, but he's had plenty of reps. It's just, Charlie's right, they're just not a good run team, but that's not going to keep them from doing it. That's what D'Amico wants. He sees the team as a tough pound the ball. I don't agree with him. I think the way he views the team is not really in reality, but there is some truth in, you have to make them defend the run. So even if you're only going to get 1 or 2 yards, make them tackle you, make them force that. And then that opens up the play action. You don't have to be a good run team to benefit from play action. You just have to show them that you're willing to run the ball.
And I mentioned last week, no, it was not a jinx or a curse. How many times do we have to cover this? If I or any of us had the powers to jinx things, we'd use them in more important ways than influencing football games, other than maybe getting a big bet down on such football games. But I talked about how the Texans have been superior in the plus-minus giveaway takeaway, now at +9, top five in the league. The Chiefs actually are +2, so that hasn't been one of their problems this season. But knowing that Joe Mixon's done, that, hey, at least the other running backs have followed his lead of not putting the ball on the ground. So, of course, Woody Marks puts one on the ground at Indy. Now, they recovered it, but I mentioned that here in that USC guy probably hasn't played a whole lot of football in temperatures in the 20s. So that's one that maybe bears a little watching Sunday night.
Charlie, methinks thou dost protest too much on the jinx front. On the other side of the ball, the Texans defense will absolutely have their ears pinned back against a very banged up O-line for KC. But we know Mahomes. He's wily. He's a vet who still has plenty of tricks in the bag. Charlie talked about KC's defense not getting home. It's been the opposite for their battered O-line. They've let teams get home regularly as of late. Some things to watch on the injury report on that side of the ball. Will Anderson Jr. continues to nurse that chest and shoulder. Danico Autry's got a knee. Tim Settle Jr. has a foot issue that's kept him from practice so far as of this recording. How do you like Houston's chances of containing Mahomes and holding down his Chiefs team that will be, as you said, Charlie, in desperation mode on Sunday night?
Quickly on Woody Marks, he did play 3 years at Mississippi State before Southern Cal, so maybe they had a chilly game at Vanderbilt in late November at some point in time. Hey, you take the Texans' defense straight up against basically any offense in the NFL. I think they've earned that distinction. Will Anderson's going to be on the injury report every week, and then he's going to go out and raise holy hell in the game basically every week. You reference the offensive line, Brandon, the critical loss. Their rookie left tackle, who is getting some Pro Bowl type mention, Josh Williams, a fractured and dislocated wrist. They found it, but he's on IR and going to miss at least 4 games. Their right tackle missed the second half against the Cowboys. Their right guard didn't play at all against the Cowboys. I mean, Anderson and Hunter must be dripping blood from their fangs looking forward to getting after Mahomes in this game. I think he's going to look to run, make plays with his legs like this is a playoff game because it essentially is survive or die in this one for the Chiefs. And maybe Mahomes actually winds up trying to force some things and could be a little bit more prone to turnovers. He is not going to have a clean pocket in this game against the Texans.
I think Kelce could be an issue here. I know he's getting older, but he seems to find it when he plays the Texans. And Charlie hit on it. Trey Smith banged up at guard and Juwan Taylor with a tricep injury. Andy Reid said this week, we'll see what happens with the injury guys, but Jalen Moore will probably be at right tackle and Wanya Morris at left if it goes that way and these guys can't play. So, you have to be excited if you're the Texans to – have a chance to get some backups to raise some hell here. And Mahomes said, like, hey, you know, these guys, I trust him. The plan's probably going to be for me to get the ball out of my hands quick. Mahomes also said, when we do take deep shots, we got to hit them. We know what this Texans defensive line looks like. They know these teams know each other very well. And there were a lot of questions at the presser this week about, oh, is this a rivalry game between the Texans and the Chiefs? And I mean, sure, you could look at it that way as a Texans fan, but until the Texans show they can beat the Chiefs, you don't really have a rivalry.
Yeah, Chiefs running game inspires no fear. Kareem Hunt is okay. Chief 2.0 Kareem Hunt. Isaiah Pacheco has some scoot, but I mean, he's not confused with any elite backs. Rashee Rice, who missed the early games of the season suspended, does have 5 touchdown grabs in the 7 games that he's played. Hollywood Brown has 5 touchdown catches. I mean, what, Nico Collins has 4. Travis Kelce, a little bit of a resurgent season, actually, after not even averaging 10 yards per catch a season ago. Now at 35, getting ready to turn 36 years old, he's over 12 yards per. He already has 5 touchdown catches, equaling his total of last season. I mean, the Chiefs season overall, it's funky. They're 6-6. They've outscored their opponents by 73 points. All their wins, except for the season saver against Indy a couple of weeks ago, all the wins are blowouts. They this year have been what the Texans were earlier this year. The Chiefs can't win a close game, which, like in baseball, you can have an unbelievable record in one-run games one season, and the next year, what happened? Did you go from clutch to choking, or these things just even out in the grand scheme of life? Right, the Chiefs had that record jag. Last year, they were 11-0 in one-score games in the regular season. I think they won 14 straight overall, an NFL record. This year, they can't buy one. 1-6 in one-score games. The Texans 0-3. Close loss, close loss, close loss. Now they're winning every close game that they're in. So the Texans hope those trend lines hold through at least Sunday night.
There was a lot made of the weather, and C.J. Stroud was like, I'm kind of benefit that I played at Ohio State, so cold weather games, it's not going to worry me too much.
Yeah, my only thought about Kareem Hunt is he's a little better at home, and obviously Jonathan Taylor ran a ton against Houston, but Hunt is no Jonathan Taylor at this point in his career. Colts are favored by 3.5 with the total at 42. Charlie, you were the only one of us to pick Houston last week for the win, so what say you for Texans Chiefs Sunday Night Football?
Some things when they end, and all runs end, one form or another, right? This has been a straight-up Chiefs dynasty, no question about it. But just as things ended for Brady and the Patriots, the Steelers of the 70s, the Cowboys in the 90s, it's going to end at some point. Sometimes it ends in ugly fashion. I wouldn't be terribly surprised if the Texans get off to a good start. Remember the Bill O'Brien game where, oh my God, they're up 24-0 in the second quarter. And then talk about the walls come tumbling down. But they get up, Mahomes presses. I wouldn't think the crowd flat out turns against the Chiefs, but the frustration just boils over as they realize it's over. And the Texans win the game easily. On the other hand, it's been a chamber of horrors. And the Chiefs, I'm going to give respect to Chiefs Kingdom. You know, and they're the cockroach until that thing is squashed. And then you light it on fire to make sure. I mean, this is it. If they go to 6-7, they're 2 games and the tiebreaker behind the Texans. They've already lost once to the Chargers. They're 2 games behind them. Do get the Chargers again. They lost to the Bills. They're 2 games and the tiebreaker behind the Bills. They lost to the Jaguars. They're 2 games and the tiebreaker behind the Jaguars. because the one team that's not winning the AFC South is the Colts. It's got to be the Texans or the Jaguars. So that's the Chiefs. Okay, they beat the Colts if they can catch them. Chiefs 20, Texans 17.
Chiefs 20, Texans 17. Sorry.
Oh, boy.
I'd like to be more creative than that, but the only thing that kind of has me going the other way with the Texans are all the injuries on the O-line. We saw what Mahomes has looked like in Super Bowls when he doesn't have protection, but it's a little early in the week for me to know exactly who's suiting up in this game. And until the Texans go on the road and beat the Chiefs, I'm going to have to see it to believe it.
And Butker is weather-proven, veteran-proven kicker, having a solid season. Fairbairn always throws a scare in, and we know in big games he has missed a big kick here or there. I would give check mark to Kansas City. And then, of course, the variables of turnovers, the special teams play, a big return. Jalen Noll can turn the field at some point. But the formula that has worked, the field position games cut pretty well for the Texans, especially in that Buffalo game. Mahomes is a top 10, maybe top five quarterback of all time. I don't think he's fattening up leading 80, 85, 90 yard touchdown drives against the Texans.
And the coaching edge I give to the Chiefs as well. I love D'Amico, but there's been some questionable challenges this year and the way he's used his timeouts and stuff like that. And I know Andy Reid had a reputation for not being a good game manager back when he was the Eagles coach, but you know, over the last several years, I trust Andy Reid to do a good job on that front.
Hey, first ballot Hall of Famer, may retire as the third winningest coach in NFL history. And one other element about the Chiefs offense versus the Texans defense. We know that one way to slow a pass rush is kind of to draw them in and throw it over them. Andy Reid's probably the most famous and sophisticated screen game coach the NFL has seen. But the Texans have speed, and this is the kind of game where Bullock and Petrie, along with the straight corners, Stingley and Lassiter, if they are solid in tackling and pursuit and can take that element away from explosives for the Chiefs, it's going to make it that much harder for Kansas City.
Yes, and Houston has been much better at that as of late, those controlled pursuits and not getting too far up the field and letting the quarterbacks run. Look, the contrarian in me wants to pick Houston, so we don't run the table against the Texans in this prediction. The fan in me wants to say that CJ is due for a breakout game, and my instincts say that if Houston can put up a big number, it's almost an automatic W for Houston. On the other hand, I feel like I'm the guy that keeps betting on black at the roulette table because it keeps landing on red. So I just feel like eventually it has to be right. Spoiler, no, you don't. That's why I don't gamble. But either side here is betting against the trend because Texans are winners of four straight. On the other hand, the Chiefs always seem to find a way against Houston. For the sake of continuity for my picks, I'll take the Chiefs by a field goal, just like you guys, just because that's always seems to be the cliche ending for these matchups. So I'll go 23-20 in my chalkiest prediction of the season.
Chiefs need more, bottom line, they do.
Indeed. The desperation may be the difference. And Josh, I like your call out of the D'Amico versus Andy Reid matchup. I think that could be one of those that tilts the favor one way or the other. Don't forget to join us after the game Sunday night where you can react with us live. We had another great crowd in the chat on Sunday. Hopefully we'll be celebrating Houston's fifth straight win. You can rub in our face how we predicted against Houston and we're wrong. But either way, it's always better with friends. One last reminder to hit like on the video if you haven't already and if you listen on podcasts, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. We'll see you Sunday night and go Texans.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to. Naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.